your eyes to the skies. It's time for Spaced Out on 95 BFM, thanks to the Stardome Observatory and Planetarium.
Coming, Josh from the Stardome.
Yeah, how's it going?
It's good. My social media feed was just absolutely chock-a-block full of the news of this NASA dart crashing into the asteroid, Josh.
Yeah, me both.
A big old space event. Talk us through it, mate. What exactly, for people that may have missed it, what has happened?
Yeah, so last week NASA had their DART spacecraft, which has been travelling through space for, I think, 8-9 months, finally arrived at an asteroid system.
9 months? It's shooting through space for 9 months to get to where it's going.
Yeah, pretty much.
Wow.
A bit of a journey to get there. But, they got there, they, locked onto the target, and they basically obliterated, they flew the spacecraft into a smaller asteroid called Dimorphos, smashed into it, and we got these incredible images that we were getting back to Earth in real time, basically, just before the signal cut out. So they successfully smashed into it.
How big was the asteroid?
It was about 160 meters. So it's not a massive asteroid in the scheme of things. There are lots of bigger asteroids, an asteroid of this size would be quite devastating for a city, for example. The real test is actually going to be in the next few weeks, because now we actually have to measure if this impact has actually changed the orbit of that asteroid.
Okay, so 160 meters across would be pretty devastating if it smashed into.
It wouldn't be very. We did a little calculation. If it did that in Auckland, the explosion would you'd get windows breaking in Huntley and Mangawhai up north.
Wow.
You're talking akin to it's like an atomic blast, essentially. It wouldn't be very fun.
Okay. All right. So it's going to kill a few people.
Well, hopefully not. That's the goal.
Okay, so have they had any data back about the course of the asteroid changing at all?
They're just processing it now, because basically what happened was, when it happened, obviously the spacecraft itself was destroyed. So we've been measuring it. So we had, Hubble was looking at the asteroid, James Webb, we had all the ground-based telescopes looking at this asteroid and measuring. So that data is now coming through. It's going to take a few weeks to kind of refine and figure out exactly how much it's changed the orbit. But we are getting that. But I think what's also really exciting is the European Space Agency, they're actually sending another spacecraft to the system in a few years, and they'll actually be going to see the crater that it's left. So that'll give us an even better view of exactly what this kind of giant impact has done to the asteroid.
As the dart got closer and closer, it just kind of looked like a piece of road, like a bit of gravel road.
Asteroids are kind of funny things, because I think, back in the day we kind of thought that they were like solid rocks. But what we've kind of realized is a lot of asteroids, they're kind of more like loosely held together piles of rubble. So they're actually not as solid. They're kind of just held together by the really weak gravity. And they can kind of come apart quite easily. And that's why, when it was kind of flying into it, they really just look like gravel on a road, honestly.
It looked pretty solid, though. Would it be frozen at all? Would it be frozen together?
Mostly probably just rock, so there's not a huge amount of water or ice in a lot of asteroids. There would be a little bit, but it's mostly just kind of loosely held gravel. I know that because I think, was it last year or the year before, when we had, and there was another NASA spacecraft that landed on an asteroid to take a sample, and they analyzed the data from that, and basically when the spacecraft touched the asteroid, it actually sank into the asteroid.
Yes.
And they said that it was like being in a ball pit, essentially, because the gravel was so loose.
Yes.
So you can imagine the gravity is really weak on these small objects. Okay.
How fast was the dart going when it hit the asteroid?
I think it was something like 17 kilometers a second. So, or maybe 12, no, 12, I think 12 kilometers per second. That is extremely fast. But that's why we think, that kind of speed and velocity and the mass of the object, I think it was about 600 kilos, hopefully that is enough to actually alter the orbit of the asteroid. So it's just that kinetic impact, really.
Was there another little camera that they shot off just before the impact to take a photo of the asteroid looking back as it all happened?
Yeah, no, there was. There was like a little, it was a, what do they call them, the nanofats, basically tiny little, they're like, you know, size of a loaf of bread. It was built by Italy, and basically it shot itself off a few weeks prior, and then that kind of flew parallel but far away from the spacecraft, and that took a few photos as it actually impacted.
Okay.
So yeah, we got some really cool shots of it happening.
All right, so those are somewhere online?
Yep, they're all online, yeah.
Okay, I need to check those out. All right. Ah, amazing. Crazy.
It's so crazy
that, you know, you can take aim at something which is 9 months away from Earth and hit it.
Oh, and that they said that, you know, where they hit the asteroid, it was within a few meters of accuracy for them. Yeah. So it's just amazing, amazing work.
Honestly. Wow, so crazy. All right, next story. SpaceX and NASA have announced some plans to potentially boost the orbit of Hubble, which I didn't realize was in a decaying orbit and was going to crash back to Earth at some point soon.
Yeah. This is a kind of an interesting one. But yeah, basically SpaceX and NASA, they had a conference a few days ago, and they basically said, SpaceX has approached NASA and said, hey, we actually want to send a mission to Hubble, which is about 500-600 Ks in orbit, to actually boost the orbit of the telescope, because it's basically been there since the space shuttles retired about 10 years ago. And since then, we don't have any way to actually go to Hubble or to alter its orbit.
Yes.
So it slowly has been falling back to Earth. It's not in any immediate danger. But yeah, it kind of means that if they can do this mission, it means that they could boost the orbit, and that could give Hubble another, you know, 10, 15 years in orbit, essentially, which would be pretty incredible.
Does Hubble have somewhere to dock a spaceship to it?
It does, kind of, yeah. It was designed to be docked with the space shuttle, so there are docking systems, but, yeah, that they stopped flying in 2011, so NASA and SpaceX would have to develop some type of adjusted docking system that they could use with the Dragon spacecraft.
Okay.
And it's also, you know, SpaceX has proposed this at no cost to NASA, and they've said, we want to do this as a private mission, so they're actually happy to fund it completely. So I think that could be quite an interesting thing for NASA to kind of agree on it.
Just give it a, so they'll just fly something up, give it a bit of a nudge. And what's the hope? So they extend its life? The Hubble's still good, still giving us good data, looking at great things out in the sky?
Yeah, I mean, Hubble's still working. I don't think it's probably going to be working for another 15 years. You know, it probably has another 5, 10, maybe 10 years, and it's, you know, hardware. But I think a lot of the mission too is actually just a bit of, it's a lot of PR, I think, for SpaceX. You know, last year they had that mission where they sent 4 civilians to space, and they were all, you know, in orbit for 3 days. And I think this would be quite similar. It's kind of one of those really, you know, quote unquote, awe-inspiring missions where they're just sending civilians to space to actually see what, you know, astronauts do in space. No idea who they would be sending, but yeah, I mean, I'd bloody go. That'd be fun.
Now, there's a great image up on Stardome's Instagram of one of, is it Jupiter's moons?
Yep, Europa. Yeah.
Tell us about this particular moon.
Yeah, so one of NASA's other spacecraft called Juno, which orbits around Jupiter, it just conducted a really close flyby of one of the moons called Europa. It's one of the closest we've been to the moon in about 20 years, and it's, yeah, we've got these amazingly clear photos. But the reason this one moon is really interesting is it's one of the biggest candidates in our solar system for potential life. Because what we know about this moon is that it has a huge ocean of salt water under that kind of icy shell that we can see in the photos. And we think that there's probably, you know, there are potentially signs of life there that we actually want to find. And so NASA and Europe, many space agencies actually have missions underway that they're going to be sending there to actually study that moon up close. So it's really cool to get this amazing photo.
The surface looks like it's tracked with river valleys.
Yeah, it's really fascinating. It's got these kind of crisscross lines all across it, these kind of reddish marks. What we think they are is basically Jupiter itself, because it's big, basically kind of compresses and squashes the moon, and it kind of fractures the surface, and then that ice cracks, the water comes up, freezes, and then you get these crisscross of lines across the surface. So we know that it's a geologically active moon, so that's why we think that under that icy shell, that geology is actually heating that water and making it, you know, potentially habitable for life forms. So it's a really fascinating place, and it's honestly one of the coolest photos that I've actually seen of this moon before.
Yes. Do they know what it is? Obviously, it's got a big saltwater ocean underneath the crust, but what else is it made of?
Well, we think, you know, we're not exactly sure. We know that it's obviously got that icy shell, that it has that kind of probably liquid ocean under that. Mm-hmm. It probably has a rocky kind of metallic core similar to, not similar to Earth, but kind of rocky at least. Mm-hmm. But as the kind of, one thing we don't know about the moon is we don't know how thick the ice is and we don't know how deep the ocean is. So, you know, NASA's proposed, oh, we could send something there to drill into the ice, but, you know, drilling into ice would be easy for a few hundred meters, but the ice could be, you know, several kilometers. We just don't know that. Mm-hmm. So that's why we've got these follow-up missions to actually, yeah, hopefully one day get there and actually drill into the ice.
Size-wise, how big is Europa?
Sorry, how big is Jupiter or Europa?
Europa.
It's slightly smaller than our moon.
Okay.
Yeah, just a little bit. It's not a massive moon, but it's not tiny. Yeah, mm-hmm. It's a little bit smaller than Earth's moon.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Nice one. Now, Josh, what's happening at the Stardome?
We're in the middle of school holidays at the moment. So, yeah, we've got our regular school holiday programs running in the day. We've also got our sci-fis, which are back. So every Wednesday, we've got sci-fi for most of the year. Tomorrow, we've got E.T., so we've got tickets for that. And then next week, we've got Ready Player One. So, yeah, we've got sci-fis pretty much for the rest of the year every Wednesday.
Excellent. Hey, Josh, thank you very much. Everyone out there, go and check out the Stardome online for a full sort of list of program and activities. And we'll check in with you in a fortnight's time, mate.
All right, we'll speak to you then.
Okay, cheers, mate. Bye.
Control,
we are docked. That was Spaced Out on 95 BFM, thanks to the Stardome Observatory and Planetarium.